Morning, everybody. How you guys doing? Always, it's always shocking to come in here with so many empty seats. Yeah, it is Die Hard Friday. I can. We should Skype him. To teleconference him in. I'm sure he has that set up at his house, right? Yeah. Today what we're doing is we're going to clean up some things from yesterday in the third down work that we did. Thought there were some good things defensively, but this is similar to, say, Baltimore with the shifting and motioning and things like that. So you have to really understand what the final formation is and where the different pieces are, and they have so many ways to build formation and so many players that can really produce big plays if you're not exactly sound on what you're doing. So that's something that we'll review a little bit here this morning and also go through the red area and goal line and move forward from there. But that'll be the focal point this morning / afternoon. That open up to questions?
The 2 games in 5 days thing coming up, how do you approach that in terms of having to really get right back into a preparation?
Well, we had experienced the same thing last year. Played with New England on Thursday night, and it's the nice thing about that and the nice thing about our situation is it is a conference opponent, so there's some familiarity with who you're playing and what the scheme is. I think those games are always a little bit tougher when it's someone out of conference or you have no exposure to, then that's tough. It's tough as it is just to get the same level of preparation. The other nice thing is both teams are working the same amount of time, so may not be able to do all the things you'd like to do in a typical week in terms of changing the scheme or how extensive the plan can be, but the familiarity does help, and you have to be conscious of where the guys are physically. You can't really take the same approach from that perspective either, so you're balancing the level of install. And
backup on some guys just because they're going to have another load a few days later?
We typically do that.
In the game, back off the number of snaps for certain guys is what I meant.
No, probably not. That's that wouldn't be the approach typically. Haven't done that in the past.
The Thursday game, huh?
No. I mean, you look at it, but played these games before. You try to play the best players to give you the chance to win, and I mean, it would be hard to go through and say what's the right number of reps in each game. You don't know how many reps either side's going to have. Are you going to have 65 snaps on defense? Are you going to have 75? Are you going to have 50? You don't know until the game plays out.
Can you say how you'll move around the guys in the secondary, or is that something you'd rather keep under?
The positive thing for us is that Mike has played both corner and safety, so he has that ability. Hank has played both corner and safety. Mike Furry's been working on defense. Raven Trone has gotten reps throughout the course of the season and some reps in games. So combination there. So, go ahead.
If it came to that, would you be comfortable starting Mike Furry in safety?
Yeah, totally comfortable. He started 11 games there in the past. Not sure how many interceptions he had. I think he had 4 or 5 interceptions and was third or fourth in the team in tackles, somewhere in that range. Pretty incredible. He started 11 games, and then either the next year or the year before, he had 98 catches. That's pretty versatile.
So for right now, do you think Brandon McDonald's role is still best in sub-defenses because of some of the things that
he's been rotating through as well, and each week what we do with that Mary Kay is just evaluate the week of practice and look at the how they did and the matchups and then kind of finalize it towards the end of the week.
How is that coordinated with these, you know, you got some new guys, move some guys around. Just how has it looked through the course of the week?
Well, it's we have gotten a couple new guys, but a lot of those guys, what we try to do in practices is mix the players in different periods so then they are working with different people. They get the same number of reps that they would, but you want to have those different combinations because you don't know when they're going to be working together. That's something we've always tried to do. It's not always the same guys getting the same reps all the time, hearing the same voices all the time, and that's always helped us. You try to do that defensively every week with every position because you don't know.
With that having been said, you got at least two starters out, and you may have two more. The fact that you have the possibility of having four new starters in one fell swoop, how challenging is that?
It's challenging. We don't have a lot of guys in the same spots that they were in at the start of the season. I think like three or four. I figured David Bowens, he started, but he was outside. Both inside linebackers aren't there. Nose isn't there. Really, if Cam couldn't play, and I'm optimistic that he can, that would be different. Same thing with Kenyon. He's not able to go. Really have to see where he's at. That's another new spot. But there's quite a few new guys. But what you like is to see the way the other guys respond. I think Jason Trusnik is a good example of that. They brought him here to play a role, continue his role on special teams, continue to develop as an outside linebacker, end up starting. Then he's moved to inside linebacker. He's played both spots in the same game. He's led the team twice in tackles. David Bowens working at outside linebacker. Then he goes inside. Atuba, him getting the chance that he's getting. Mike Adams working at corner and safety. I think it's a really great opportunity for guys to establish themselves as real solid contributors.
You mentioned Bowens. With this situation, I know he is on all occasions, but with this situation, is he even more so of a coach on the field for you because he knows his defense, he's been around, and he's going to be, you know, probably coaching up the guys that maybe aren't sure where they're supposed to be on certain formations and certain situations?
Yeah, he's great that way. He understands the whole defense. He's able to help communicate the calls, and I really think the group has done a nice job. You're always working to get a high level of communication, and having some new pieces in that heightens it, and I think they've responded well. And they've done a lot of stuff as a group outside of just what we do in the typical day, working together on their own, making calls, sort of simulating the game through tape so that they all have to communicate. And I think that's been helpful, and I've seen some progress. There hasn't been a significant amount of mental errors, considering that there are so many new pieces.
Had to spend extra time in practice, not only just on your game plan and schemes and where guys are supposed to be, but teaching more than maybe at this time of the season you normally would?
Well, you're constantly teaching. It's some stuff you do have to spend time on that you wouldn't typically spend time on. Some of it, learning guys' names. You know, we've had quite a few new faces come through, but it's good though. And what's exciting about it is it's a challenge. And you saw what Matt Roth was able to do. Comes in here 2 days, being a veteran guy, being in a similar type system that helped him. But everybody was helping him. Coaches were helping him. He was working hard himself. David Bowens knew him from Miami. The guys really responded to him. They were, it's almost like a a real sense of community. Everybody trying to help everybody else out to be successful.
How would you say the Braden Edwards trade has worked out for you guys so far?
I think with any trade, you got to really let it play out. But I've been happy with Jason. I've been happy with Chancey. I think that Chancey's been able to come on a little bit more over the last couple games. Yeah, that one setback with the injury, but I think he's getting more and more comfortable doing the working with the group that we have, and got the potential now for two other young players here in the future, and you got to see who those guys end up being, and probably won't know the value for a couple years. Like drafts, can't really evaluate a draft for 2 or 3 years down the road.
After the game, you talked about the decision not to start Kaluka inside last week. Was that a one-week thing, or I mean, could he start this week? Is it just a matchup?
Yeah, he could start. He could start at any point, and he works like a starter does. I'm not hesitant at all to ever start him. I think he's done a really nice job for a young guy, and most of those guys, they're getting ready for bowl games now. I mean, this is a whole new world. They'd be off doing exams. You know, I don't know how long it is till a bowl game, but there's a lot more football to go, and they've already played a lot of football. So they're all working through that as well.
At that size, are you thinking, though, that maybe he will have to, you know, we have to manage him, and he might be a situational type guy just because he's not prototypical?
Yeah, he was. You're really looking at him as a third and fourth down player when you, and he's not a tiny guy. I mean, he's 235. Typically, though, we're looking about 250 for those inside guys. But DeQuell had similar size. Had a few guys kind of in that middle range that have been very effective, and they may not be able to go down and take on the blocker exactly the way that a thumper would, but they find ways to do it very effectively. Roman Pfeiffer played inside there. He was a bigger guy, but his style wasn't the just blow it up type.
A question about Brady Quinn along the lines of, since he has not played a lot coming into this year, and theoretically or you know, arguably you don't know what you have in Quinn, is it important to go ahead and give him these last five games to finally define what you think he is?
I think every game that you play, you get a chance to define those things, and I think that every game that you play, you learn some things and you develop a little bit, and the important thing is to keep that development going. And on the flip side of that, sometimes when you aren't playing, you got to use that time as well to continue development.
Might this be a week he could be active?
Yeah, and really, every week is a week that he could be active. It's not a set pattern where he's going to be down for two and up for three. Every week you have that chance, and he had a nice day yesterday, and I anticipate he'll have a good end of the week here today.
What's he not done or shown you? You know, you mentioned like a guy like Matt Roth can come right in from Miami, be plugged in and play. And you know, Brian's been here since being drafted and been in the system and on the field working. What are you not seeing from him that you're holding him back a little bit?
Well, Matt Roth is a much older player, much more experienced player. He's got a lot of reps in the system, a lot of play time, so not really apples to apples. And oftentimes with inactive, it's not a function of what they're not doing. It's a function of what somebody else is doing. And a big component of that, when you're in that fourth, fifth receiver role or fifth cornerback role, fourth safety role, you have to contribute in a meaningful way on special teams, or you've got to have a very specific role in a very specific package that you do better than somebody else. But you don't have one of those two things that always guarantees that you're on the 45, then it's going to be a week-to-week type situation.
Massapequa has had three extremely productive games, and the rest of the games have been pretty unproductive in terms of pass receptions and yards and so forth. And I'm curious as to what he needs to do to gain a little bit more consistency and start putting productive games back to back to back.
Well, he it's hard. It's hard to say that if you do this one thing, you're going to be productive. Sometimes the coverage dictates how many balls you get. And if you're rolling over the top of somebody, or if it's heavier in your direction, you're going to get less balls. Sometimes it's a function of, does the quarterback get the ball to you? So it's not just one defined element there. But he's another guy that will continue to grow and continue to mature and hopefully be a guy that can have those productive games week in and week out.
He's performing equally well in games where he's not making a lot of catches as he might be in games where he's making a lot of catches. It's just that there's extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, with receivers, it's different. I mean, your production is often dependent on what the defense does and someone has to get you the ball. I mean, those two elements, it's different than a running back where if you give them the ball, they have the opportunity to run. They get those touches, and you can determine how many touches they get. With receivers, you can't guarantee how many touches they're going to get in a game.
To get back to Rubisky for a second, is it fair to say that you were expecting more out of him, or at least to see him on the field more, just given where he was selected?
I'll tell you, with draft picks, it's different. Every guy's different. Every situation is different. And seen it go a lot of different ways. I mean, you get some undrafted guys that come in and play a ton. And you get some guys that are drafted high, and they may not play as much and really hits the second year, or it hits later in the season. I don't think there's any set pattern for draft picks or young guys in terms of they have to develop over this timeline and this is the grid. It just doesn't work that way.
A guy named Roger Duffy, who you may remember from the Jets, told me when he was Alan Faneca's teammate with the Steelers, and Faneca was a rookie. Faneca took Duffy's place, and Roger said, as good as he is, as talented as he is, first-round draft pick and all that, he wasn't very good as a rookie, and most rookie linemen aren't. I bring that up because I wonder if Alex Mack, and I know you're fairly satisfied with him, I wonder if Alex Mack is actually a good NFL starter right now, or is just a good rookie player right now.
I think he's played pretty well throughout the course of the season. That's not a easy position to play. You'd have to, from my perspective, I think he's played well. Do I think he could do a lot of things better? Yeah, but that's true with every position. He's come in, he's played every snap, he's done a good job mentally, he's done a good job physically, he's been consistent. I think he's got a long, bright career here.
Since you were a very young lad in your first go-round here in Cleveland, how disappointing would it be for Browns fans, for you, for everybody involved if this game ends up being blacked out?
Well, I know everybody's working to make sure that isn't the case, and obviously we'd love to have all the fans there and all the seats filled, and it's a great feeling, it's a great environment, and I'm always excited to have that be the case.
Do you get a sense, I don't know how much you interact with fans or get emails or whatever, that the frustration level has grown throughout the season?
I don't really, not really out of the building very often. See my kids. But I understand their frustration, and it's something that we're all frustrated. We all want better results. We're all committed to getting better results, and that's not. I understand it. I get it, and we're working to fix that every day, diligently, consistently as a group, and it will happen.
In the context of 1-10 season and struggling and so forth, when you know you're working for the obvious, you know you'd like to have a good career, et cetera. But you know what's the fine print of what you're working for right now? What motivates you in these difficult times? You know, what are you shooting for as you go through these last five games?
My approach, it's not really, for me, it's not really about the career. But to me, it's about being the best possible head coach I can be and preparing the team as well as they possibly can be prepared, to giving them the best opportunity to be successful every week, to making sure that we're consistently making progress and building both short-term and long-term. And as I said before, sometimes the progress isn't as apparent as we'd want it to be, but as long as we're moving forward, that's what's most important to me, is to consistently be moving forward.
Have you ever seen a situation like this with so many injuries and so much turnover on a roster from August to December?
In New England, a couple games. I don't even know if it was a couple games or what the stretch was, but you guys remember Don Davis played linebacker, really fast linebacker. He started for us at safety. Troy Brown, who was receiver, he started at star. Got Earthwind Moreland. I think he came in off the street. He started at corner. Randall Gay, who's a rookie free agent, he started at the other corner. Can't remember who we had inside. And Larry Izzo at one point played some safety for us. These guys, it's mix and match, and they did a great job. Those guys did a great job. But watching Don Davis at, he was 240 playing safety, he was fluid, smooth, did a good job. Troy, he was just transitioning into more of a O and D player.